Welcome to Hormone Health Podcast, brought to you by Georgia Hartman and Chloe Sheehan.
This podcast is an extension of Hormone Health Studio, which is our naturopathic clinic based here in Newcastle and online.
We're just two naturopaths who love a laugh, coffee, croissants, and conversations about real people with real health concerns.
Nothing's off limits. We're here to educate you on what's happening in your body, share emerging research, and debunk buried health misconceptions.
So sit back and let us do the talking.
If you've ever been interested about seed cycling, today's podcast, we speak to Serena all about what seed cycling is and how it can be beneficial if you experience menstrual cycle symptoms. But before we go into it, if you're listening to this podcast, I hopefully would have had my baby by now and recovering well with
a Milo. I thought you were going to say a newborn. This is such a fascinating intro to record, because when we figured out, you know, at what time it would be released, it's like, oh, hang on, you're going to have your baby by this point.
I remember the calm birth. Was it the calm birth lady or someone recently said that it's weird when you start to see your due date on milk bottles?
Oh, yes.
And you're
that's
like,
so
oh,
true.
My God, like...
That's so true. Have you? No, you probably haven't yet.
I'm not buying milk that's due in April.
6 weeks or something.
But I am very much at that stage where this is so much of a mind game.
I think you're having a boy.
Yeah, I think I am having a boy too.
I get boy energy. I'm wrong every time though. So anyway, we've got evidence if I am.
But I agree as well.
Boy. I think you're having a boy. I'm so excited.
Just because you think you're having a boy as well.
No, I know.
So we can start a soccer team.
Yes.
But for anyone who's in that third trimester phase, it's such a mind space of, I can do this. This is endurance.
Totally. Chloe walked in today and said, did you feel sad in third trimester? And then we both laughed because she said, I'm asking someone with a mental health care plan. And, you know, that's just us making light of a situation.
Oh, hello, mate.
But it's so true, isn't it? Because I also think that at this stage in pregnancy, you know, one, it's like the back of summer and we're having some really hot, humid days. So it's just disgusting to be outside. But also, people say to you, you know, remember it used to really bother me when I was pregnant, among other things, that, you know, oh, enjoy this time because before you know it, you're going to be sleep deprived. And
it's like, I am sleep deprived.
Yeah. Yeah. And uncomfortable.
I am hot. I am sad. Like,
but I remember it's like once the baby was born, like I had energy back. Like, it's funny. You often think that, oh, this is the easiest it's going to be when you're pregnant. But I find pregnancy so hard.
It is really hard. There's this expectation that women are supposed to enjoy it.
Mm.
And it's supposed to be beautiful and appreciate your body. Yeah, I can do
not
that.
Not when you wet yourself.
No, I can do that whilst also, you know, sitting on the couch.
It's a long time.
I went for a walk with Will and we did 5,000 steps. The next day I couldn't move one calf.
That's a big walk. How long did that take you?
It was slow. It was really slow, and there was an acai bowl and a coffee in between.
Oh, did you go like Merriweather to Dixon Park or something?
Yeah, got an acai bowl, had a rest, and was taking it really easy. But then it's like, oh, one calf is now seized up. Great, awesome.
Chloe walks in and I said, oh, I've got some magnesium oil. Let me give it to you. She goes, what are you using magnesium oil for? I was like, oh, my swollen ankles.
I was like, why do you have swollen ankles?
Pregnancy.
And then what about that text from Will? He's like, I've been doing a lot of baby talk today around the office and people said I really need to monitor you for leg swelling. I was like, great.
Oh, well, he can monitor me for leg swelling if he likes.
Yeah, he can be the leg monitor. Anyway, isn't it glam?
So glam.
It's not forever.
No, it's not. You're so close now. Let's get into today's episode.
Do Today we are chatting with Serena, a women's health nutritionist and clinical EFT tapping practitioner. She supports women to have better periods, a healthy nervous system, and process trauma. She's passionate about teaching women how to work with their bodies rather than against it, and works alongside the Seed Cycle, a holistic alternative to balancing your hormones naturally using food as medicine. Welcome, Serena.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and I'm excited for this conversation.
Today, we want to pick your brain all about seed cycling because it's one of those things that comes up every now and again. Mm. We get clients asking, is it beneficial? How can they do it? So we thought, what better than to get someone on to explain it in its complete entirety?
Mm.
Yeah.
So let us know, give us a deep dive, because I think I don't really know much about seed cycling. It's not something I've practiced before. So can you tell us, what is seed cycling?
Yeah, so you can kind of explain it as this dietary practice aimed at regulating your hormones and your menstrual cycle. So being a nutritionist, for using food as medicine is the most powerful thing. So it's using food as medicine and working with your body's natural rhythms, being your menstrual cycle, to optimize your hormones and your reproductive system. So when you kind of look at the menstrual cycle as a whole, it's this complex ebb and flow of your hormones. When we look at the first half of your cycle is mainly governed by estrogen, and the second half of your cycle is mainly governed by progesterone. And your community might be familiar with this, but there are kind of four different phases of the menstrual cycle. So you've got your bleed, menstruation, the follicular phase, which is that first half, ovulation, where your body is releasing that egg, the second half of your menstrual cycle being the luteal phase, and then it comes back full circle to your bleed. So when we look at seed cycling, we kind of break it down into just the follicular phase and the luteal phase, because the seeds are working on estrogen and progesterone. So we're taking these four different seeds, there's pumpkin seeds, flax seeds, sunflower seeds, and sesame, at different times of the menstrual cycle. And these seeds contain lots of yummy different nutrients to basically support the production and elimination of those hormones, estrogen and progesterone.
Interesting.
I know that's lots of information.
Yeah.
Would this also be beneficial for somebody on the pill or taking hormonal contraception? Could they still have benefit in that?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I get into it, there's different ways of cycling. So you can cycle the seeds with your menstrual cycle if you're having a regular bleed, or if you're pregnant or you are on the oral contraceptive, like you said, you can cycle with the phases of the moon, which a lot of people, I think this is where seed cycling kind of got put into the woo-woo space, because they were like, oh, these women taking different things at different times of the moon month, like what is this? But as a woman, the average menstrual cycle is 28 days. Of course, not everyone fits on this. It can still be between 21 and 35 days, which is considered normal. But a moon cycle is about 29 days. So if you're on something like the oral contraceptive pill, it can deplete you of nutrients. So adding those nutrients back into your body, supporting your digestion, is going to be really beneficial too.
So fascinating. And where does this come from? Like, how old is this practice, and where does it come from?
Yeah, so it's quite an ancient practice. It's hard to figure out. I have trolled the internet to figure out exactly who came up with this and why, but it's an ancient practice that's been kind of used in traditional Chinese medicine, in Ayurvedic medicine. In Ayurvedic medicine, when you look at sesame seeds, they're often used to treat infrequent periods or to support libido. And it's awesome because now we can kind of base it off of this ancient wisdom. And now there's research coming out about the individual properties of the seeds. There was a research paper last year that came out about using seed cycling to support PCOS. So the more and more research that is coming out, it just gives it that real evidence-based support, which we love being in the women's health space and in clinic, to kind of back up how supportive it can be.
And the other thing with this as well is that it's not just another supplement where people don't feel as invested in their health. If you're getting them to incorporate these nutrients in food that they enjoy, that are tasty, it gives somebody a bit more empowerment over what they're doing with their health. So, can you explain how to do it?
Yeah, I just picture like tablespoons of pumpkin seeds.
And touching on that point as well that you just mentioned, Chloe, that's another amazing thing with seed cycling is you are, you know, Mel, who is our founder, she had people coming to her saying, well, if we just extrapolate these nutrients from the seeds and then we put it into a pill or into a supplement, she was like, no, like we want to keep it as using food as medicine. So people are learning how to eat good food, how to add. We find that women who start seed cycling, they're doing something for their health, so they want to make better decisions about the food that they're eating. And there's also the whole kind of body literacy picture. So in order to seed cycle, you need to know where you're at in your menstrual cycle. So women are actually becoming aware of, okay, when did I start my period? When might I be ovulating? Do I know if I'm ovulating? What is ovulation? It's this whole bigger picture where seed cycling just adds so much benefit to them in terms of understanding themselves and making good food choices. But back to your original question of how do you actually do it? So, like I said, the four seeds are broken into two different phases. So, in that follicular phase, the first half of your menstrual cycle from day one of your period up until about day 14, not everyone again will ovulate on day 14, but we've just tried to take an average cycle just so women have a reference point and then they can learn and track and understand what day they do ovulate. So, you'd be having pumpkin and flax seeds in this first half, and that's going to support the production and elimination of estrogen with different nutrients that are in that seed, which I can go into as well. And then in that second half, in phase two, which is your luteal phase, this is after ovulation up until your next period, you're having the sunflower and the sesame seeds.
Interesting. And like I'm even thinking about this right now, and I know you'll get into it, but normally when we think about nutrients to support progesterone, we think vitamin E or to support the endometrial lining, and that's high in sesame seeds and tahini. So can we go into that in a little bit more detail about the specific nutrients?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you look at flax seeds and pumpkin seeds that are used in that first half of the cycle, flax seeds are really rich in something called lignans or phytoestrogens. Some people might have heard of these buzzwords. And this is able to actually regulate healthy estrogen levels. So some people hear phytoestrogen and they just think it's just going to increase my estrogen, but it has this very intelligent way of working with the body and on your estrogen receptors. So it can kind of decrease or increase the activity of estrogen depending on your body's needs. So for example, in clinic, I see so many women who are quite have excess levels of estrogen, and this can be due to numerous factors. It can be their body's capacity to detoxify, they're taking in lots of chemicals which are acting as harmful forms of fake estrogen. But having something like the lignans in the flax seeds can really help their body to detoxify and process that estrogen. And then they're really rich in fiber, so this is going to help with bowel regularity. And what can happen is, when the body is done using estrogen, it goes through your liver, then it gets put into your bowel. And if you're not going to the bathroom daily, it can then be reabsorbed by your body into this more harmful form of estrogen, which can increase symptoms of fluid retention, weight gain, hormonal acne, heavy periods, clotty periods. So it works in two ways to kind of modulate that estrogen and then make sure your body is able to actually get rid of it and excrete it properly.
I'm pretty
And then when
excited
we
by the research that's out around flax seeds and PCOS. I think it's around 2 tablespoons or 30 grams a day, in terms of the research I'm thinking about. But it's incredible to just be able to use
something so
something,
simple.
something inexpensive that people have access to and something that they can incorporate and have a better menstrual experience.
And then when we look at pumpkin seeds again that are being taken in that first half, they're really rich in zinc. So again, really important nutrient for healthy ovulation, egg maturation. And the study that came out in 2023 looked at pumpkin seeds having something called beta-cysteryl in them. So this can actually reduce androgens. So for women who have PCOS and they potentially have elevated androgens, this could be supportive for them as well.
And just to clarify, because this is something that I used to get tripped up on, pumpkin seeds are also called pepitas, right?
Yes, yes,
Yeah,
yes,
okay. Yeah.
yes. That
That's
actually
correct.
reminds me of a story when I had my brother and his girlfriend over for dinner. I had a whole jar of them and she just started eating them. She goes, "Oh, these taste like pumpkin seeds or something." I was like, "They are," but it
Yeah.
had pepitas written on it. It was really funny. But yes, they are the same
Yeah,
thing.
yeah. And
And
flax seeds can be
same,
called linseeds as
yes, I was
well.
going to say flax seeds and
Yeah.
linseeds are also the same thing.
Yeah.
And so a few questions for you. How
Yes.
much? How much? I sound like
Yes.
Borat.
So, how much do you
How
take?
much do you
Yeah.
take?
So, the current research looks at having 1 ground grinding. It's really important so that you can get the bioavailable nutrients. If anyone here has eaten whole flax seeds and then looked at their stool, they'll probably notice that they can still see it in
I'm
there.
like
Whole flax
nodding, but I
seeds.
don't want anyone to know that.
It's okay, we're practitioners, we talk about poo all
Yeah.
the
And the
time.
difference
So,
between using flaxseed oil and like flaxseed meal versus flaxseed, like complete the whole seeds.
yeah, so we recommend the whole seeds because you are getting that fiber part of it as well. And when you're grounding it, when you're grinding it fresh, the chance of it being on the shelf for potentially as long as, say, an oil where it's been put through this whole processing form to then get it into the oil, having that whole ground flaxseed is going to be more beneficial for the body as a whole. And then you get, like I said, that fiber component. So it's 1 tablespoon of ground flaxseed and 1 tablespoon of ground pumpkin seed that you'd be having each day for that phase one. So day one of your period up until ovulation.
And they just do, like, people just do that however they want in a smoothie, on a tablespoon.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I've had questions about, do I just put it in water or do I just eat it off the spoon? You can basically add it to anything you want. So I have my seeds in yogurt every day, which is a really good snack. Also, pumpkin seeds and all these seeds are really rich in essential fatty acids. So it's going to keep you fuller for longer. It's going to provide that level of satiety when you are having a snack. So you can put it on yogurt, you can put it in a smoothie, on top of a salad. Sometimes I put it on avocado on toast. You can kind of do it sweet or savory, whichever works for you.
And then once you hit that sort of mid-cycle around ovulation, talk to us about the change of going from flax seeds and pepitas to sesame seeds
Sunflower and
and
sesame.
sus yeah.
And sesame and sunflower. Yeah. So as we move from the estrogen dominant part of the cycle, we move into the progesterone dominant part if you are regularly ovulating. So we have the sunflower seeds. They're rich in vitamin E, which again can support progesterone, but also helpful for skin. So many women who have been seed cycling, we always recommend doing it for 3 months. But women who do it for a month, the first thing they say is, "Oh, my skin feels so much more glowy and clearer and so much more light." And it's amazing how quick an impact that potent vitamin E just coming from sunflower seeds can be on your skin.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's also research with the sunflower seeds that those essential fatty acids convert to something called gamma-linolenic acid, and this can alleviate PMS and breast tenderness as well. And then the sunflower seeds also have selenium, so again, supporting liver function. If there's any excess estrogen the body is processing, it's supporting that liver to move the estrogen from the liver into the bowel, and again, support healthy thyroid, which is invaluable for a regular menstrual cycle.
Because we tend to think like Brazil nuts, they're the nuts that contain selenium, but you're
Yeah.
going to have these micronutrients in other forms of seeds and nuts as well.
Yeah, ab absolutely. And again, this isn't to say that all the seeds and all the nuts, they're all so beneficial and supportive for us. But I think in terms of getting someone to have a clear protocol and giving their body the nutrients that's going to support it the best at different times of their cycle and support their hormone production and detoxification, it just becomes really easy when we're like, all right, have these four seeds. This is when you have them. This is how you take them. This is what it's going to do. Takes the
Do you,
guesswork out of it.
yeah. And do you grind down the sesame seeds as well?
Yeah, we recommend grinding all of it. So you can just put it into a NutriBullet or like a coffee grinder if you have that. And then obviously with the seed cycle, that's kind of how it came alive is our founder Mel. She was pre-making these mixes for her clients and grinding it down because they were just forgetting, or they didn't want to go out and buy the seeds and then have to grind it, dose it, store it, all of that. So the seed cycle was kind of created off the back of that. So it was kind of these pre-done formulas of the pure 100% ground seeds that women can just be like, all right, I'm in phase one, I'm in phase two, we'll have a scoop of this or this, depending where we're at, and just kind of simplifies the process again.
Wow, and you've used this in clinical
Yeah.
practice. Do you have any case studies for us?
Yeah. We've got. Am I going to be able to access the case study now? We do work with our practitioners to get case studies regularly because, again, the research is still starting to come out. And so we get them to give clients seed cycling for 3 months and then write down kind of what their symptoms were in the beginning, how it shifted and changed for them, and what the outcomes were for their cycle or their fertility or whatever it was that they were working on. But I'm happy to we've got them to the, for the public eye, so I'm happy to send them through afterwards. But for a lot of women, it's reducing period pain, improving the length of their cycle if they have short cycles, or even women that have really, really long cycles, it can bring them. I think we had a woman who had she did have PCOS. She had like 50-day cycles, and after 3 months, they were down at like 35 days, which is again closer and closer to that regular cycle. Women who are experiencing fertility issues, this can be a mix of, it's hard to note whether this is a mix of them being unaware of when they're ovulating. And so seed cycling has helped give them the tools and the knowledge to understand when they're ovulating, or if it's been the seeds that have been supporting healthy ovulation and being able to maintain a pregnancy. So it could be both. And then also amazingly, women in menopause. So coming from my nutrition background, when I first heard of seed cycling, I was like, how beneficial can it actually be? This seems like such a simple process. I'm so used to using big practitioner quality supplements and all the things. But noticing the how much these little nutrients can tweak women's experiences of their cycle has been profound. And women who have been going through menopause and experiencing quite intense hot flushes, which can be again that estrogen ebbing and flowing, especially perimenopause, they've had massive symptom reduction in those hot flushes. And I was like, whoa, this is cool, this is powerful. And the power of these little nutrients is just, yeah, it's blown my mind as well, which is great.
And I guess the tough thing is, like, even like from a practitioner perspective, getting your clients to take supplements every single day, if you can, or even saying, are you eating, five serves of veggies every
Yeah.
single day? If you can get client compliance every single day of their cycle, you're going to have the best outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then again, like I said, with improving their diet as a whole, like if they're doing one little thing, they're probably not going to want to put seed cycling on a bowl of cornflakes. They're probably like, okay, how can we make a more nutritious breakfast that we can add the seeds or add seed cycling to?
This is fascinating, and I think you make such a good point, Serena, about something as simple as seed cycling is just the catalyst for making and sustaining dietary changes and sticking to something that makes you feel good and you get the health benefits from it. Because I think as long as someone sticks to something for long enough, kind of no matter what it is, in a health sense, you'll notice a difference. You've just it's got to be consistency.
going from their
Yeah.
baseline, just increasing one other thing can make a big difference.
Yeah. Can I ask, what happens then? Say you have a woman that's been using seed cycling on her fertility journey. What then happens once pregnant? Is this something that she stops completely, or what's the recommendation?
Yeah, you can still seed cycle throughout pregnancy. It's kind of this tool you can use from, I would say, up until girls who are starting to get their periods until postmenopausal. It's kind of this regime that you can do daily across your entire reproductive years, because it's literally just giving your body, I feel like if you give your body the nutrients to do what it's meant to do, it's gonna do it. So for a woman who's pregnant, she would then just shift from taking the seeds with her monthly cycle to taking them with the moon phases. So she would start with phase one on the new moon and then move to phase two on the full moon. And that way, when she does give birth, and if she happens to breastfeed, then her body is still getting all these beautiful nutrients like magnesium, zinc, vitamin E, selenium, manganese, that are going to be stripped from her as she starts breastfeeding, and supporting her through that whole pregnancy as well.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And you mentioned before, in terms of these are some beneficial habits, I guess, that contribute to overall nutritional status. Can I ask you, from a practitioner perspective, what are some food habits that people might think that they are doing that are healthy, but are in fact maybe hindering their menstrual cycle symptoms?
Yeah. The biggest one, and the biggest one that's talked about a lot, and I talk about a lot in clinic, is fasting. And there is a lot of research that kind of points to both sides. But for me, I would share that in my practice, that for women fasting over 12 to 14 hours, it can be such a hindrance on their menstrual health. Even when they're if they're in the second half of their menstrual cycle, where they're really, really sensitive and progesterone really sensitive, I probably wouldn't even want them fasting for over 12, 13 hours. And with fasting, sometimes if women are fasting from, say, 7 p.m. one night till 11, 12 the next day, in the morning, when your cortisol is supposed to be its highest, when you eat, it gives your body this response that it is safe. And as a woman, whether you're trying to get pregnant or not, your monthly cycle on a biological level is trying to get you pregnant. So if your body doesn't feel safe, which comes in the form of making sure that you have enough calories, making sure that you have enough nutrients, it can be, external in your environment as well, but on a nutritional level and a caloric level, when you eat food, your body's like, okay, we're safe. So we can do the things that we're meant to do. We can ovulate and release an egg in the hopes of getting pregnant. So with fasting, if your cortisol keeps climbing and climbing in the morning without this kind of signal that you are safe, the body goes into this state of being like, okay, I mean, this is a threat. And so then you might not ovulate properly that much that month. You might ovulate late, which will then delay your cycle, and you have no idea what's going on. Long term, that cortisol can cause inflammation, which can then make your periods more painful, or again delay ovulation. And then in terms of fasting, women might just not be getting enough caloric needs met. They might not be getting their caloric needs met enough, so they might just be eating lunch and dinner. And again, if the body doesn't have enough body fat, or it's not getting these regular meals, it's not going to feel like it's safe. That's the most basic biological thing I share with clients, is this is the safety perspective. It's like nothing else matters except your body feeling safe to have a regular cycle.
And I guess that weaves in well with the type of clients you see in terms of the intro that you were mentioning. You're working with predominantly women in the space of nutritional health, in terms of also supporting nervous system and trauma-informed care.
Yeah, all of that. And I think when my perspective on food being used as almost like a body safety tool shifted a lot when I started doing the EFT tapping and looking at women's nervous systems, because I had women coming in who were, I did this myself. I was fasting for 16 hours, And then my appetite would reduce so much that I was like, oh, I'm not really hungry. Then my cycles were delayed massively. I was having like 40-day cycles. I wasn't ovulating. I was like shaking in the morning, even though I couldn't feel this hunger cue kicking in. But I thought I was doing the right thing. So I was like, oh, well, fasting's a buzzword. This is gonna support me. But food's really, really important for letting your body know it's safe, signifying it's safe, and quality food.
I think you make such a good point there about even your own personal experience with fasting, because the whole point of making dietary changes or, doing things differently for the sake of better health is to understand how your individual body responds to that. And the description kind of your experience is a classic case of, okay, you're not meant to fast, but fasting isn't for you. And so I think people, because it can be trendy, it can be a buzzword, and they go, oh, this must just be how it is meant to be, and it'll get better. But if no matter what changes you make to your diet, if that's kind of the response that you're experiencing, that's not right for you.
No, not at all. And that's not to say that fasting isn't suited. Some people love fasting, but I think working with a practitioner and working with a practitioner that understands female biochemistry really well, because so much of the research done on fasting is on men, and we just get pushed into the category of being small men, which is not the case. We have five hormones in our menstrual cycle that are shifting dramatically every single month, which influences our energy needs, our motivation, our nutritional needs, our metabolism, our stress response. So just giving someone this one size fits all approach can actually be worse for some women than the outcomes for a man, especially for a woman trying to get pregnant. I've had women come to me wanting to get pregnant, and they've been fasting for months, and it's just completely disrupted their hormones and regular ovulation, and again that whole body safety picture, and they're super stressed. And then they implement eating a proper breakfast, a protein-rich, savory breakfast for 3 to 4 months, and they're pregnant. And we didn't have to do some crazy protocol or give them this massive long list of supplements or something like that. It's just coming back to the very fundamentals, which I think so many people forget. These
Yeah, I
fundamentals
agree.
that make us healthy: water, fresh air, sunlight, eating real whole food.
Hot cross buns. Yeah. Triple shot coffee. Serena, I wanted to make a point that you mentioned before about doing seed cycling as you're sort of entering puberty or around first period. I feel like that could be a really nice, gentle way for, mom or dad or caregiver to sort of say, here's a nice introduction in how we're going to support your hormones, but doing it in a fun way, such as making bliss balls or smoothies. Or how, in terms of if somebody is interested in this, where can they find out more from you? Because yeah, that's really like that's something that I would like to recommend to those types of Yeah,
clients.
because you can get them interested in food and good nutrition and teach them about how food impacts your body and your hormones. So yeah, totally agree.
Periods are cool.
Periods are cool. Seeds are
Periods are
cool.
cool. Yeah, and it's also on the back of that, it's also beautiful for teenage girls. This is often what I see, the pointy end, where they start getting weird about food, or they see these food trends, or they want to start restricting and not eating this and that. And giving them something that they can use in a variety of different ways, where they can make a bliss ball or a smoothie or a brownie or a biscuit or something like that. It gets them excited about food, and also understanding, okay, what day is my period coming? Or what should I be looking out for if I'm ovulating? And that way we're teaching them from the ground up, so that then when they're, 30 and potentially wanting to have a baby, they're like, oh, I've been doing this for most of my life. I've been tracking my cycle. I know where I'm at. I know how to support myself. So if they jump onto www.theseedcycle.au or on Instagram, if mums have Instagram, the_seed_cycle, we have heaps of information and resources about how they can start seed cycling. obviously we have created the seed cycle product that it is in the phase one and phase two kind of done for you formula. But if they do want to get started just at home, they can go buy organic seeds, organic pumpkin seeds, flax seeds, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, making sure they are organic so they're not sprayed with pesticides, which will then potentially impact their hormones the other way, and grinding them up, and then having a tablespoon of each day, depending on where they're at in their menstrual cycle.
It's been really great to chat to you about it because I think it can be another buzzword. It can be another health trend to do seed cycling, but to actually speak to a qualified practitioner that knows exactly what these seeds are doing and the health benefits that they have is the difference between having success with seed cycling and just eating a whole bunch of seeds and
I'd much rather my client attempt seed cycling than say buy, hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of, different products or certain things to fix their period pain. It's like you said, foundations are
Get the
really
basics right.
important. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I've fallen in love with it. And even for like in the fertility space or teaching women to start understanding their cycle, giving them the tool of seed cycling as a way they can start tracking and noting which phase they're in, noting when they're ovulating, it takes away all of that overwhelm that a lot of women can experience where they're like, oh my God, what day am I on? I have to do this or this. And I talk a lot about something called cycle syncing, which is seed cycling falls into it, but it's, changing your nutrition and your movement and your lifestyle in accordance with those phases of your cycle. And sometimes that can be really overwhelming for women. So it's giving them this point of start where they can just start. So before you do any of your testing, before you do supplement protocols and all of that, they have this really easy thing that they can take home and be like, okay, what day am I at? What can I take today? And how can I? And they're doing the same thing every day for 14 days, 14 days, building their relationship with food, building their relationship with their body. So the impacts are transformative and so much bigger than fixing their cycle or supporting their cycle, not fixing.
I have one question. What if you have someone who has quite a short luteal phase, less than 10 days or so? Do you still get them? So do you get them to do, say 14 days of the follicular phase and then, 14 days afterwards, even if they haven't ovulated yet, to try and support that? Or do you just get them to follow whatever their cycle is doing and wait 3 months to reassess?
So if their cycle is, if they have like a 10-day luteal phase, then they can probably follow their own cycle and just keep doing that for 3 months. We have had women do that and their cycle has elongated. The nutrients have really supported that progesterone, holding that uterine lining in place so that their luteal phase is longer. If their cycle is less than 21 days as a whole, then I would be getting them to cycle again with those phases of the moon so that it can helpfully get their body into this cyclical nature of cycling the seeds, having those nutrients for 14 days and 14 days. And again, that could support their cycle elongating.
So fascinating. I feel like I only know moon phases when it's a full moon and my kids are wild. And then I'm like, oh, it must be a full moon. But this has given me a whole nother
That's a whole new
perspective.
perspective on moon cycling theory.
Yes.
Totally. And then that's how men women who are going through menopause and even post-menopause can cycle as well. And on our social media, we put every fortnight, whenever the moon is full or new, a little reminder so that it keeps people on track as well. I just put it into my calendar on my phone.
Yeah, great idea. And I have one other question. When you get people to track their cycle, are you getting them pen to paper or is there a specific app that you recommend? I suspect our listeners might have that question.
Yeah, absolutely. It really depends what works for them. Ideally, I would love every woman to be tracking her cycle on paper because instead of just picking up your phone, you're quite engaged with the process. But for a lot of people, again, they just don't do it or they forget. So using apps, I love using Flow or Clue. they're really easy apps. We've also created a seed cycle tracker, which is a free resource. This is in addition to tracking your cycle and your symptoms on, say, an app, but it's just a little tick box. So you can put it on the fridge and you know that in your follicular phase, you've taken the seeds each day. In your luteal phase, you've taken the seeds each day, and that really increases people's adherence
Yeah,
and
amazing.
dopamine when you make that tick.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, I'm all for the
Yeah, we love a dopamine hit. Instead of a notification, it's a tick.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on today to talk to us all about seed cycling. I have got a lot from it.
Yes, and where can
Awesome.
our listeners find you personally?
Yeah, so they can find me on my website, which is serenacoventry.com. It's Serena, Sarina. A lot of people spell it with E's. And then social media is Serena Coventry underscore, which is all things EFT, menstrual cycle, women's health, all of that.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
If you liked it, leave us a review and follow us on socials. We'd love to hear from you.